Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, and I'm about to bring you an interview with the Die Welt correspondent here in Rome, Paul Bade. This is Pope Benedict's first state visit back home. How do you think it's perceived in Germany?
There are different kinds of perceptions. I mean, there are different forces. For instance, to start with a little story, first, he's been scheduled on the little courtyard in Berlin, where the Nazis had murdered their victims. We have some martyrs there. But as a matter of fact, in this courtyard, it's smaller than Castel Gandolfo. It's about, 300, 400 people. They scheduled him and they planned to bring him there. And then said, no, that's too little. You have to bear in mind that Poland is only 80 kilometers off from Berlin. So then they went to the Schlossplatz. They switched to the Olympia Stadium. Now it had become too small. They should have chosen the temple of the airport, the old airport.
People who are going to this mass, going to attend, they're coming for pastoral reasons. This is a state visit.
Yes, yeah. but they come from pastoral. But the thing is, now it's not only a state visit, now he comes to the heart of the matter, to the core of Germany. Germany is the birthplace of the Reformation, so he's going to Erfurt too. But this is Berlin, is a Protestant city. Berlin is a pagan city today. So this is completely different. When he went to Bavaria, he went back home.
He's a Catholic stronghold of Germany.
Yes, and not only that, he is Catholic, but he's Bavarian. And then he's Bavarian, asked his brother just 2 days ago, what's your language, is it Bavarian or German? He said, of course, it's Bavarian, we are Bavarians. Now he's coming, I wouldn't say to a foreign country, but Berlin is, he never lived in Berlin. That time Berlin was off the map, more or less. But now he's really, it's a completely different story. You cannot compare it to any other, the previous visits. Not to the Cologne visit, which was scheduled by John Paul II, and then to Munich and Bavaria. Now this is completely different. Now he comes to the heart of the matter.
You mentioned you spoke to the Pope's brother in Regensburg. Did you glean anything as to how the Pope himself feels about this visit?
I think he might be a little bit nervous about it, yeah. But because it is unlike England, for instance, Germany is different. Germany is a very hard country. Just imagine how the Poles, how they cooperated, how they perceived their Pope, what they did. This enormous identification with the Pope. They brought the Berlin Wall down. They brought the Soviet Union down. But in Germany, it's a completely different situation. It's not a Catholic nation. Not at all. It's not a Protestant nation either. It is a divided nation. It's been divided it has been divided, history or division.
Geographically.
Geographically, historically, ideologically, it's completely divided. And that makes a whole difference.
There's a problem with the sense of the nation.
Yes, with the problem with the sense of the nation. I think he is going to talk about identity. Where we are, or who we are, where we come from, where we go, where we're heading to, the Germans.
When he was elected, though, in Germany's newspapers reported, they said, "We are the Pope."
Yes.
Was quite a strange statement.
Right. It was a peculiar statement, but it's not that we said it. It's one headline in the Bild-Zeitung. And this became very famous because it was so strange. it was so easy to remember, but it was a joke. It was a joke, but it has never been true. We are not the Pope. And we've never been Pope.
Basically, this visit is going to take on a historical dimension.
Historical, but this has, the ecumenical dimension will be the overhead dimension, I think.
Well, because the Pope has this idea of new evangelization.
Right.
Of dialogue
right.
between Catholics and non-Catholics,
right.
No? That's the fil rouge of the trip.
Right. I would say so, yes.
You mentioned the fact that Germany is not a very religious country. Is that what you said when you said
it's
not a Catholic country and it's not a Protestant country? The two religions share the highest number of faithful.
Yes.
More or less the same. Mm. What do you mean by that?
It used to be a highly religious country, but now, it is, as I said, it's divided. We had the Reformation, we saw the Reformation. In the course of the Reformation, the church split, kept splitting. We shouldn't forget that the last split was with the Nazis. It's not an atheist. They were pagan. They were open openly pagan. So it was a very modern but very pagan project. And so Germany has lost, as I said, their sense of identity. Who are we? Where do we come from? You should bear in mind that in Germany, the first state in Germany wasn't called Germany. The first state was called the Roman Empire, founded by...
Holy Roman Empire.
First the Roman Empire, then the Holy Roman Empire, and then the Holy Roman Empire of German nation. It was the very last thing. So our identity was completely Catholic, completely Christian, completely Roman. It is unique, and no other country in the world can say that of themselves.
Except that Germany became a nation rather late by European
standards. Yes. And we've been an empire, and it had much more to do with the Jewish history, for instance. I mean, at the time of Charlemagne, they had been influenced by the Jews. At a certain point, they were wondering, should we become Jewish or Christian? Is nearly forgotten. As we have one state in the Caucasus, where a whole nation converted into Judaism. This was a possibility in German history too. But then they became the Christian nation, the Christian empire. King Charlemagne, he imagined himself as King David.
If I understand correctly, what you're saying is that historically in Germany, there was a time when the identity with Jewish history was greater than that with Christian history.
So then the nationalistic part came much, much later. The French were the first with the nation, etc., etc. So our history is different, and our history is complicated. And it shattered very often. We had quite a few catastrophes in the course of our history.
Mm. The people haven't forgotten,
especially the Jewish people. No, not at all, no.
The whole Jewish question in Germany, although the Jews are not very many...
They're increasing. Now they're increasing.
Because they're coming from the Soviet Union.
Right. I mean, as a matter of fact, now Germany is the promised land much more than Israel for the Jews of the Soviet Union. Yeah.
But the new generations.
They're not afraid of Germany. No, they know that no other nation there, they've got so many privileges.
The irony of history.
Right.
After the war, understandably, after the Holocaust, German Jews did not want to live in Germany, the ones who survived.
Yes.
Some
remained, but they had problems. Those who remained, they had problems with the fellow Jews, with Israel, for instance. I mean, it was
because... They were viewed as traitors.
Yes, right. But then you had other Jews in Israel. I met a couple of years ago, I met the last ones, who never learned Hebrew. They spoke German, they kept speaking German. They missed Germany so much. I mean, they were the biggest, that's another story, they were the biggest patriots in Germany, the Jews, the German Jews.
What about the Muslims in your country?
Now they made a big issue out of them, but I mean, it's not an issue as would say in France.
Yet in Germany, the Muslims are the largest group in Western Europe after France.
Right. And they are not as well integrated. The French Muslims, they speak fluently French. They come from Northern Africa, and this, our Muslims mainly come from Turkey, and they remained in, I wouldn't say in ghettos. Yeah, it is. It's an unsolved question. But now that we have more pious Muslims than pious Protestants. I mean, those who attend the services, those who obey the laws, the religious laws, etc.
There are mosques in Berlin.
Yes, everywhere.
And with the muezzins call for prayer.
I never heard a muezzin. Heard them in Jerusalem, but not never believed. But sooner or later, you will hear the muezzins, no doubt about it. Yes.
French thing is that the Apostolic Nunciature in Berlin is in Kreuzberg, which is the Muslim area.
Yes.
So the Pope will be staying in the Muslim neighbourhood.
Right.
Getting back to the Muslims, after 9/11, I think that the Germans feared the presence of the Muslims more, whereas in the 1960s, 70s, they were happier about having Muslims in Germany, no?
I mean, you have to tell apart the media and then population. I think those who have Muslim neighbours, and they were good neighbours, good friends. I mean, a little anecdote. When the wall came down, when the people from East Germany came to the West, from East Berlin came to West Berlin, Turkish community, they spoke at least as good German as they did. But they were much more adapted to the Western society. They were businessmen, they were keen. And another story is, in my youth, I hitchhiked to Spain, to France. It was so easy for me. I mean, I knew the map of Spain by heart, the map of France, the map of the map of Eastern Germany was out of my head. And so, and it was much easier for me to communicate with Spaniards than with Eastern Germans. And so, and then the Eastern Germans came, they were poor. In comparison to the Germans, they were living on welfare level. And so they came there and they met the Turks. And the Turks, they knew how to drive taxis, they had to run businesses. It was a very complicated situation also for the Germans. I mean, for the East Germans to realize what had happened then. They felt stranger in their own home.
It's 21 years now since reunification in 1990. It was a huge problem, the reunification, wasn't it, at a social and economic level, but also at an ecclesial level, no?
Yeah, it still is. It still is. I mean, because you should not forget that we had in the eastern part, they had suffered from dictatorships, from totalitarian dictatorships from 1933 until 1989. Many, many, many years. I mean, so I wouldn't say that there's zero baptism. We have small minorities. The Catholics are very, very tough, very strong there, those diaspora. But the rest, they did not fall into paganism, back into paganism, but into nihilism. They just don't know anything about anything, speaking about the church. It was, so they were easy prey for the consumerism.
To consumerism.
I mean, so it still is a very big problem.
Now your federal chancellor is from Eastern Germany.
Yeah, yes,
she grew up in Eastern Germany, in Mecklenburg, Pomerania.
Right. So, and also she is to a certain extent, she's not completely familiar with the language, how we should react, how we should, for instance, but especially for
the customs.
The customs and the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was a strange thing to her, and it still is.
Not just the Catholic Church, religion in general.
Yeah, her father was a pastor. Protestant pastor, but the Catholic Church, much more so.
You talked about Berlin being pagan. There are going to be a lot of protests in Berlin
against the Pope. It's the gay parades. I mean,
it's a hedonistic city.
Yes, and they're planning big projects. Also, when John Paul II in the late 90s, I mean, now there still exists film footage which in the TV is never published because it was so horrible what they really did. I mean, they were really cruel, brutal demonstrations.
You mentioned the fact that German society, modern society, does not put, except for the Catholic stronghold in the south, does not put religion in the first place in their lives.
Not at all, no.
Given that those who do practice their faith, both at the Protestant, the evangelical level, and the Catholic level, share the numbers, so they must intermarry, no?
Yes, it's been a problem for decades. While when I was young, it was a joke saying, never get into mixed marriages. But it was a joke. I mean, it was so conservative, so out of the world. I mean, to imagine to choose a partner by religion. But now, as a matter of fact, it has created enormous problems. I mean, being Catholic and being Protestant, it's not just a different confession, but it's a different world. And so with the education, I mean, nearly everybody has a mixed marriage in a family. Usually what happens, I mean, since they cannot find a common conclusion for the education, they drop the religious education.
So new generations don't even know the difference between the two.
Right, all too often, yeah.
The lines between the two are blurred.
Right.
What about our friend Luther? The Pope's going to Erfurt, where Luther lived.
Yeah.
It's a city, as you mentioned, in Eastern Germany, former Eastern Germany. Yeah. And they're having a big anniversary coming up.
Yes.
Is this felt in Germany?
Yeah, of course.
Martin Luther is a role model for many, no?
Yes, very much so. And I mean the protests against Rome. But then, first of all, the Pope is not going to beatify him. But then again, I mean, he's taken into consideration that he's been an Augustine monk. He's been, as a matter of fact, today, I would say a majority of 98% of the Catholics are much more Protestant than Luther ever imagined to become a Protestant. Luther, he was a Catholic. He's been a rebel. He died as a Catholic, more or less. I mean, his whole world. But the process he initiated made also the Catholic Church in Germany is very, very Protestant. And now, strangely enough, I mean, now there are quite a few Protestants who pray for the Pope, whom they see as a
beacon of light.
Yes. So many hope very much for him that he gives new orientation to, because the Catholic Church has their problems, but the Protestant Church, they have enormous problems.
The Pope's also going to Freiburg in the southwest, a Catholic area of Germany.
Used to be. Now it's a green, the green capital.
I read that. But yeah. What does that mean exactly?
It's not only, I mean, ecological. Then it is
political,
gender mainstreaming, energy, etc. That is, I would say, the capital of the spirit of the time, of the modern time.
In Freiburg, he's going to meet lay Catholics. The Catholics who practice their faith, they have a very strong and organized identity.
Right, not completely, because we have an organized part, but we say in Germany, Vereine, Catholic organizations, lay organizations, lead a life of their own. But they pretend to speak, that they have the voice of the church, which is a problem. Because, I mean, the church is much bigger. So, for instance, now we have politicians who play part of that. They tell the Pope what to do and the bishops what to do, that we should have a solo lay priest, viri probati. But it's the politicians tell the church what to do. I mean, there's, of course, there's enormous problems. But the thing is that we have Catholic organizations with no mandate by the people of God. It's not very democratic. It is they lead a life of their own.
Germany has always been especially active in providing aid in emergency situations. Is there a reason for this?
What we have a religion of shame.
Can you explain?
Yes, I mean, in my generation, my brother, for instance, he went to England, and the thing in England, he told them that he was Swiss. Then later, he said he pretended to be English. I mean, his English was perfect. I mean, as I said, we have a problem with identity. We had two lost wars. I mean, enormous catastrophes. I mean, so the German society was very much ashamed. And then for the first...
A sense of guilt.
Guilt, yes. Guilt. And then, for instance, for the first 10 years after the war, let's say until 58, 59, 60, the Holocaust was not even mentioned in German society. So we had the guilt was enormous. Guilt is always an enormous problem, but we had it in society. Usually guilt is a personal thing, but we had this collective guilt and then a collective shame. And that meant we'd rather be anybody else than Germans. So people, very often, they hated to be identified as Germans. Anyway, I mean, generally speaking, I've not been ashamed. But very often you could observe this strange phenomenon. And so I think, but this is just what comes to my mind now, that this might have been a motor to do some good for the world. I mean, this is after we had devastated Europe. This might be a reason, but I don't know.
It's your opinion.
It's my opinion. Yeah. It comes to my mind now. I mean, yeah.
The Pope has a love for culture, no?
Yeah.
And he always quotes from poets or literary figures, not just religious figures.
Yeah.
He'll certainly do this in Germany.
He certainly will. He will impress the German society. He will impress the German intellectuals. But what I think is, I mean, it's not only the Pope. The Pope, all his speeches will be masterpieces. But the media is against the Pope. The German media is against. I'm speaking as a media person. The German media is against the Pope. I mean, but the English media has been against the Pope too before he came. But I think it will be a triumph. He impresses.
He has no confusion in his head. In a world where confusion seems to be a trademark.
Right. Yes. Mm. That's completely right.
You've met the Pope various times.
Yes, sometimes. I mean, as a cardinal, much more often.
Yeah. Can you share anything with me about that time?
Well, I mean, yesterday I had an interview with his brother. In Regensburg, on Tuesday, and so everything. I mean, he said he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed a bit. He said everything. I mean that we have that we are believers. That we do know where we're heading to. That's not nothing which evades us, but it's him. That it's his face. He said, "Luck for us. Luck is the adoration of God," and that's the Pope.
He's a very private person. Unlike John Paul II, you probably travelled with him,
yeah.
who gave us this idea of prayer with the camera zooming in, etc. You never see that with this Pope. He's private, reserved,
very much.
Private.
But don't forget how old he was when he started the job. Now he's 85 next year. And he doesn't drink. He doesn't eat too much. He lives a very healthy life, and he could look, Leo the 13th, he become 90 something. He could expect. I mean, many had chosen him because they thought he's a Übergangspapst, he's a transitionary pope. But they're wrong already now. I'm convinced that he is going. The prizes will be in Germany, and it will be. I think it will be triumph. He is the biggest challenge to Germany since Martin Luther.
He'll leave his mark on history.
Right, certainly, he certainly will.
That was the Die Welt correspondent here in Rome, Paul Budde. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.